Welcome back to the Strong and Lean at Any Age podcast. I am Susan Niebergall, and today I have my two good friends, Greg Fearon and Jillian Davis, on with me. They are part of the Fit and Fabulous podcast, and we have become good internet buddies. So I wanted to bring them on. We had a great conversation talking about a lot of struggles that we see across the board with all of our clients and how we help them through these common struggles. We talk a lot about getting toned. What does that actually mean and what will that involve? And then we also talk about motivation, especially from the perspective of when you have substantial weight to lose and you feel like it's a massive undertaking. So we have a lot of great nuggets in this conversation. So go grab your coffee, put up your feet, take a listen, or go put on the earbuds and let's get walking and take a listen. I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. Hey guys, how are you?
Yeah, awesome.
How are you doing?
Yeah, awesome.
I am so excited. I have got Mr. Greg Fearon and Jillian Davies here. I am super excited to chat with you. We chatted, it was a while ago now on your podcast. We had such a great time chatting, and I love seeing you guys online. So I wanted to bring you on here because I think we have discovered too, we have a lot in common with the people that we work with, the things that we try to help with and all that. So, I think this will be a great podcast for everybody to get to know you. So let's just start there. Greg, why don't you kick us off? Tell us a little bit about you, kind of where you're located, what you do, that kind of thing.
Okay. So I'm Greg Fearon. I have a company called Project Fit. Pretty much I help women who are 40 plus to get fit, strong, confident, and healthy. I'm a former corporate manager. So I used to work in management. And then over time, I kind of went back to my sports science degree roots and said, I need to help these ladies because there's too much crap going on in the world of nutrition and fitness. So I've been full-time doing this now for 2 years. No, 4 years. 4 years now. But I've been doing it on the side for 10, 15 years. So, yeah. And I'm one half of the Fit and Fabulous podcast with Jillian.
Yeah. So, Jillian, how about you? You're located in Ireland, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's where I'm located. And yeah, thanks for having us, Susan. So, I'm an online transformation coach, and I work with women. So, we obviously all have a very similar kind of clientele that we help. So I work with women, predominantly women that are older, kind of 50 plus, who are just at that stage of life that they just want to kind of get themselves back again. You know, they've been through a lot, or they're going through that sort of area of, you know, perimenopause, menopause as well, and just want to reestablish themselves again, shall we say. And I have been now doing this almost 4 years exactly. Actually, I did a leap of faith out of the corporate world. I am a scientist background, so I would have been kind of mid-COVID testing and everything else if I had still been doing my work. So I work for companies that develop tests and diagnostic tests for infectious diseases. So,
you would be hook, line, and sinker into all that right now, right?
Oh, totally. So I kind of feel for my former colleagues, but smugly going, I'm not in that. But so primarily I have been working with that. And really what it was is like my home history is, you know, coming from being a cardio bunny to restrictive diets, on and off diets for many years, sort of pulled myself out of that. Found my love for strength training, basically flexible dieting and understanding nutrition. That really kind of piqued my interest and just pulled me out of corporate world and realized that you get to a point when people start wanting to know what you're doing, how you're doing it. And I just have been going along with that. So
do both of you train in person and online or what?
I'm totally online.
You're totally online.
So I made the transition 2 years ago to go online. Because I relocated where I was living. So moved back to Ireland, basically. Back home.
Cool. How about you, Greg?
I do a mix. So I've got one-to-one clients and I've got online clients. So I'm a hybrid, I guess, is what it is.
Yeah.
How has all of this affected your in-person?
Strangely for me, it went really quiet because I had boot camps and I had group training sessions and I had one-to-one. So the first month or so, it just collapsed, literally just disappeared. But my kind of my VIP ladies, as I call them, they said, well, we'll just do it on Zoom. I was like, okay, great. So literally they've transferred to training on Zoom so I can watch them and see what's going on. And then about 2.5 months into COVID, I started getting phone calls going, Greg, please help me. I don't care about the rules. I just need to get you back in the gym. So I was like, okay. So I have a gym at the back of my house and I coach from there. So yeah, and it started to ramp back up again. So that's been awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's been a tough time for all of us. And even online, I know it was tough at the beginning, you know, because people were panicked. Yeah. And I don't blame them, right? Because it was something that I don't think any of us have ever been through before. And it seemed to be getting worse in places and going, you know, getting bigger and bigger. So people were losing jobs and, you know, all of that. But I think we're all kind of coming out the other side of that to some degree now, right? Which is great. And it's what I've loved about it. And there's not much that we can say that we could love about it at all. But the one thing I think that's come out of this is the creativity to access stuff. That has come out of it. Like I don't know what you've done, Jillian, with your people or whatever. And Greg, you know, getting the gym, putting a gym in the back of your house and things like that. Zoom. I mean, Zoom has exploded, right?
I wish I had shares in Zoom. I really.
Yeah. Right.
Absolutely. And very much I find that, like, obviously that was my kind of main focus was doing online. But yeah, like you said, people all of a sudden were more open to doing a different way of training, you know, and we're open to kind of doing things at home and doing things for themselves, as long as they had that sort of a plan, a program, they knew what they were doing, you know, they kind of opened people's eyes to that.
I think so. I often hear people talk about, like, the beginning of COVID, people kind of characterize that over here anyway, as like a snow day, and a snow day for school kids, you know, when it snows so much, they don't have to go to school. And here where I live in DC, if it snows just like this much, schools are closed for like who knows how long, right? For the teeniest little bit of snow. But it was the excitement of being, okay, we can't go anywhere. We have to stay in our house because of the snow or whatever. There was a different feel to that. And at first, that's where people kind of were, at least over here. Like, okay, I can hang here for a week and not have to do whatever. And then it got 2 weeks and 3 weeks and on and on. And here we are in August. And if you had told me back in March that we would still be talking about this in August and still having to adjust and things, I said, you're crazy, right? A lot of adjustments.
I think for us, it was, there was a big panic. It was all of us, you know, November time, we started to hear rumblings about it in China. Mm-hmm. And then I think, you know, towards the middle of March, it went a bit crazy. End of March, it went mental. You couldn't find toilet roll or bread or pasta anywhere. Yeah. I was going to the shops and I couldn't find anything to eat. I think I lost 3 stone. But then people started to, they were excited, like you said. Then I think, well, I don't know, COVID lethargy kind of set in for a lot.
Yes.
So it was, I'll stay up late, I'll drink every day, and I'll just eat more because the fridge is only 2 steps. Yeah. You know, down the corridor. So that was a big one for me. But then there were other people, as Jillian said, who started to walk, started to cycle, started to do just other things. Mm-hmm. So it's been an interesting just watching people, how they've adapted to the situation.
Yeah. Jillian, what have you found with your clients during COVID? Like, what was happening with them?
Well, it was a mix of things. For some people, depending on, some people had quite a nervous disposition around whether to even go out walking. So trying to even encourage, I had so many conversations just getting people to, it's okay to go outside, even if you just go around your block or something like that, there, you know, do something like that. And so there was, so it was that anxiety for a lot of people as well to kind of help them with. So not even getting into anything else, it's, you know, which seems, it seems trivial for some people because you're like, well, you're just walking. So I find that there, it was trying to manage people's
anxieties around what they could do, what they couldn't do. So was a lot of talking, and of course then sleep and things like that, you know, it all gets disrupted, so it just impacts on the whole. But then on the other side, yeah, people find themselves working from home all of a sudden. They had more time in their day. They thought, God, I can actually get up and get a workout done before I have to sit at my desk all day, you know. So, and that's the other thing. Plus not, you know, making sure that they don't spend more time working than what they would do usually, because it's easier, because it's there, you know. So
the beauty, I mean, since we all coach online and we're all at home a lot, I mean, I'm coming from a school background, so I always went to work, you know. And the beauty of this to me is I can go to the bathroom anytime I want.
Not to be strategic.
It doesn't take much to please me. You know, it has its advantages. Yeah. You know, one thing that I'm curious to know the story behind is how you guys got together for your podcast, because your podcast is amazing. I'm going to put the link to your podcast in the notes for this too. And it's called the Fit and Fabulous Podcast. Yeah. And I want people to go check it out because it's so great. But tell me the story behind that. Like, how did you two get connected with that?
Yeah. So it was like, we had a mutual coaching program, weren't we, at one point over 18 months ago. Yeah. And then I think after a while, I came on to, it was originally Greg's podcast, but literally I get crashed it, Susan. We asked this. I just get crashed the party. I'm coming on to your podcast and that's it. I'm not leaving.
Yeah. So, and I think we started to do lives, Facebook lives together a few times together. Then we'd do lives on each other's. And I think that was more just, we were trying to help each other out. And yeah. I guess the relationship evolved, and then, about, was it December time or so?
Yeah, it was December.
And it was like, oh, I really want to do this podcasting thing. So I said, let's do it together.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. Have you ever seen each other in person? Is it?
No, and it's weird. Now,
it is, but you know what? What's interesting is that when you do, it'll be very normal. You know, it's so interesting. You know, Jordan and I do the Inner Circle, and we had our first Inner Circle retreat a year ago in Austin, Texas, where we had about 50 of our members. We all came together and we had speakers and we did a little mini kind of workshop stuff with them. And it's so interesting when we saw everybody in person. We had been connected with them online, communicated with them online, become friends online. We know each other. They're our friends. And it was, we all looked at each other and like, this is weirdly normal. Like, it's like, we haven't seen each other in a while. It's a beauty of the internet.
I know. Well, me and Jillian probably speak to each other at least twice a week, even outside of the podcast. We I think as well, especially during COVID and when we had maybe stresses with the business, it was always brilliant just to be able to go, are you around? And you just drop a message and talk and just get tell each other to get over ourselves and get away.
Yeah. So I know you'll probably see me in person and go, God, you're a lot smaller than I thought. That's what most people do. God, you're not really that tall, are you? Yeah, thanks.
I love it. Well, I love your podcast, and I think the three of us, we have something very much in common with what we do and kind of gearing our focus towards middle-aged women, I guess. You know, anyone really, but really the middle-aged women who feel like it's over, like there's nothing they can do. I can't lose the weight. I can't do this. You know, I mean, I was one of those people that thought that I was screwed, right? I mean, I was done. I couldn't control anything. So I'm curious, because we all work with the same kind of population. What do you guys think is like the biggest issue they come to the, I mean, I know there's a laundry list over, I mean, because I had them all. I'd be curious to know what you think is the biggest issue that your clients struggle with.
Yeah. Not being dictated by the scales, by their weight scales, probably still. That's a conversation that just never goes away, is it?
Like, yeah.
So, and, you know, because, you know, a big part, pretty much every woman that I work with has had some sort of background with a diet club or Slimming World or one of those. And it was always just measuring yourself. Your progress was always based on your scale weight. And it was just, so I do a lot of undoing of that. I kind of almost have to hold our hands and just go, trust me, just go with it, go with it, go with it, you know, and you'll see a change. So.
And I think I see that too. And from somebody, I was talking to a woman, I had a consult call with a woman last night. She was 50 some years old. And we were talking about our thoughts with the scale and the fluctuations. And when we, you know, my generation, we were brought up one way. And that was, if it goes up, it's bad. If it goes down, it's good. That's it. You know? And when you have that in your brain for 30 some 40 years, whatever, that just doesn't go away. Like, you know, it's not a light switch, right? It takes work. It takes practice. It takes sometimes being successful. Sometimes you're not, you know? So I totally relate to that. I think that's prevalent, the scale. And it's, and we know it can be such a valuable tool as well. Yeah. But we also know people go way over. How about you, Greg? What do you find?
So the scale is a massive one, but I think the biggest one is that the ladies don't put themselves first. So what happens is they spend their lives, you know, maybe looking after children, working hard. But then when it comes to time for them to train, take time to look after their nutrition, I think it's always on the back burner because someone else or something else is always a priority. So I think one of my biggest things is to show the ladies I work with that you can prioritize yourself. And actually by doing so, everyone else around you will benefit. And I think once we can clear that, then they generally tend to fly. But the real big one is, oh, I haven't got time, which actually always translates to, I don't think I'm important enough because there's all these other things I have to do. That's a massive one.
I totally agree. And I think that is something that has gone on for years and years. You know, you get married, you get a job, you have kids, then you're shuttling around and Lord knows where your nutrition is at that point because you're grabbing dinner on the fly because this kid has practice or you're doing this and you're doing that. And, you know, over this large span of time, we've kind of neglected a lot about ourselves, our nutrition, our now what do I do? And it's interesting. I think people want to blame menopause or perimenopause or whatever as the reason, but really what you all been talking about over time, that's really the reason, you know? Do you have a lot of talk around menopause and like, you know, my metabolism is slow, my thyroid is slow or low and blah, 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 all that?
Absolutely. Yeah. I even had that conversation. I was like talking to, I was like guest expert in a Facebook group and it was all around about, but you know, doesn't our metabolism get slow? And I just went, no, right, let's clear that one up, you know?
Yeah.
And like you said there, Susan, it's a combination of all these things coming together.
And it's just a perfect storm. Yeah.
Yeah, perfect storm. It just so happens to happen at this time. But, you know, look across the board. Not everybody of either 45 or not everybody of 50 or whatever age has the same impact, you know. And so there will be other, you know, there will be factors in there. So it's not age. It's not age is the factor.
You know, one thing that I see is an issue too is, and I don't know how often you see this, is the lack of consistency with just about anything. Nutrition probably being the biggest, like they'll do something for a week. And if they do, right. And if they don't see any kind of change, it must not be working. Either I quit entirely, see this doesn't work, or, oh, I need to eat less than what I'm already eating right now. That must be the problem. You know, I mean, we go into those disordered behaviors. Do y'all see that?
Wow. I don't even know where to start. I think the fitness and swimming industry has a massive role to play in this because we don't talk about what happens in the befores and afters. We don't talk about consistency enough. And you know, a lot of these kind of products will sell, look, if you just take this, it's going to be easy and you just drink it and you'll lose. Mm-hmm. It's going to be magic. Harry Potter wand and everything. Expelliarmus. And I think, you know, one of the things I've heard you say in your videos is track for 30 days.
Yeah.
For most people, the thought of tracking one meal seems like, right. Oh my God, why do I have to do all this? Because I know that if I take Herbal Life or whatever the supplement may be, I'll just lose weight like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the big thing I think the ladies need to realize is that weight gain doesn't happen very fast, generally. Like, gaining fat doesn't happen overnight. So if it takes you, let's say you're 40, and it takes you 2 years to get to this, the physique you want, that's literally 5% of your life. Whereas you've got this big chunk where, like Gillian said, everything has been accumulating. So a little bit of consistency is not going to hurt you. And we say this to our children and our little people in our life. If you're consistent and do the work, you'll get the results. But then we turn around and say, how can I lose all this weight in 6 weeks?
Yeah, yeah. No, I totally agree with you. I see that in the industry all the time. It's the latest and greatest shiny penny over there, mm-hmm. you know? And it's the easiest route. And I think as humans, we kind of look for that, right? I mean, we have, and how society has evolved as I've gotten older. I mean, I didn't have the internet when I was, you know, a kid or in high school or even college for that matter, really. And it's like we have everything at our fingertips right now, instantly. Anything we want, we can hit a couple keys and get it. And I think that mindset over time is what we see with all of this, right? In society.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. We just want to, and you know, like you said, it is human nature as well. We just want a quick solution, don't we? To solve and get away from the discomfort or the problem that we feel we have. So yeah.
I also think people underestimate what needs to happen. You know, I mean, they don't, not that it's this impossible mountain to climb, because I don't think any of us feel that it is, but that they think that I can just sit back and I'll watch what I eat, whatever that means. I don't even know what that means, right? I'll watch what I eat. Have you heard that? And maybe that's dating me, but that used to be a thing. People say, I watch what I eat.
Yeah.
AKA, I'm trying to lose weight, right? That terminology, but it's more than that.
Yeah. Well, you know, that classic of, but Greg, I eat healthy.
Yes.
Okay. So it's got to be something else, right? It can't be your nutrition. No. It can't be that. I think convenience is the killer of a lot of things. Convenience kills. I firmly believe that if everything's too convenient, you don't know how to work it. You don't know how to be consistent. And I think that's the real big, one of the big issues that we have. Everything. I can order a takeaway on my phone in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
That's going to take me, you know, more time to cook a nutritious meal.
Right. You know, and I think that is such a valid point for a lot of things. And I switch over to education here for a second, because my son growing up, he picked up on things super, super fast. And the second he didn't know how to problem solve. Because he couldn't type and get the answer for something for when he was taking advanced placement chemistry or whatever, you know? And it was like, that was a hard lesson to learn when you are used to having things at your fingertips or you can easily find an answer and you can move on. And I think that whole mindset of, wait a minute, I have to do more than watch what I eat or, you know, eat healthy. Yeah, you know, you kind of do, because I made that mistake for about 30 years. So trust me. It's great to eat healthy. And I don't think any one of us is saying not to eat healthy. I mean, that's not the message here by any stretch. But I think if you're struggling to lose weight, you got to dig into that a little bit more and look at why. You know, what are you actually eating that's causing you not to lose weight? Because healthy foods have calories too.
Yep.
And absolutely. Yeah. And I think it kind of touches on another point as well, is that this need to constantly just, I don't eat a lot of food, but yet you can't see any changes. So it's like almost this thinking that, well, I'll just cut my food even lower and lower, but, you know, and then almost I'm trying to do the opposite. It's like, no, if you just kind of fuel your body a bit first and then let's look at what you can change then. Yeah, it's like this fear of actually eating more food sometimes.
Yeah. What do you all see? Like, how many times have we all heard, I am only eating 1200 calories and I'm not losing weight. You know, I mean, and if I could take that number out of existence, I would, like, although it would be replaced with 1100 or 1000 or something like that. But 1200 seems to be the scapegoat, right? That yeah. seems to be the number that everyone goes to for whatever reason, however they get there. And they say they swear they're eating 1200 calories, but they're not losing weight. How do you all deal with that?
So I blame my fitness pal for that because it has a setting, doesn't it, that doesn't allow people to go to 1,200. And then it became this magical thing. 1,200, that's the magic number for everybody. A good question I always ask the ladies is this. Ladies will often put up these memes and these things about how they're independent and individual women. So my question then becomes is, if that's what you're saying, then you need to back it up with your nutrition, because your nutrition can't be the same as everybody else's. So that's number one. And number two, it's something I learned from, I can never say it, Precision Nutrition. So I learned from them. And my classic one is show me. Mm-hmm. Show me the 1200 calories. Very often, I don't hear anything back.
Yeah.
And you'll get 2 good days, but then it kind of disappears. Yeah. Even the weekend.
You know, and I think that's so prevalent, right? They, if you dig deeper into it, you find that they may be doing 1200 calories for a couple of days, right? And then they're like, what the hell? You know, I can't do that. The reins get a little looser and they get looser, and pretty soon all hell breaks loose on the weekend. And now we're back to square one. But the only thing that they remember, and it is a bit of a selective memory, is how miserable they are on 1200 calories, right? That's what they remember. And mm-hmm. so they, in their head, honestly, I think people truly think I'm really only eating 1200 calories because that's what they feel. It's so awful to try to stick with that for anything longer than, you know, a couple of days.
I think it's a very valid point. I think people also feel like losing weight has to be this big challenge. So yeah. That's why they go to this extreme of 1,200 or even 800 calories. I've seen it before.
Yeah.
And it's got to be a battle. Whereas I think, and I, well, you know, I speak for Gillian as well, I think we try to make the process really easy. Like, this week, can we eat 3 portions of protein a day?
Yeah.
Is that all? What about my 1,200 calories? No. Just stick to this. Can you do that? Okay, cool. And then they start to feel better and they start to feel good and inches start to change. And then it's like, this is too easy. What's going on? What magic is this?
Mm-hmm.
That's when the shiny penny syndrome. Oh, but my friend over there is doing this. I think I should do that.
Yeah.
And that's like, it doesn't have to be a big fight. I think, yes, you have to be consistent, as you said, Susan, earlier, but you need to also make the path as smooth as possible because you've got other stress. You've got work, family, friends. You need to make that path as simple as possible for people. And I think that's why, you know, I don't always get people to track the calories straight away. I just set up some habits and go from there.
Yeah, definitely. Depending on their experience already as well. There's some people who are happy to do it. Some people just, you know, you get the vibe off and they're all like, oh, don't make me start weighing my food or whatever it is. And you're like, okay, well, let's pick a different strategy, you know, so go with it. But yeah, much that like you're saying, Greg, you know, it's that expectation, isn't it? It's like, it's been drilled into them that this has to be really hard. Like that, it's going to be really difficult because those 1200 calories, it's hard to keep to that. It's really, really difficult. And that's the only way that I can do this. So, you know, if I really want to see these changes, it's going to be like, I have to sweat it out. It's going to be the toughest thing I'm ever going to have to do. And it's just really set themselves up for that whole, you know, real pressure, judgment, you know, I better do this. If I don't make it, I'm going to fail again. And, you know, it's like,
yeah,
turn it into this big beast that it doesn't need to be. And that's, you know, and you know, that's what we want to do. Your brain's obviously going to be sending out warnings to you all the time. It's like going, you don't need to do this. Is it, you know, and you are going to stop because essentially that's what our brain will tell us to do. It will give up.
You know, and it's so funny how people out there in our industry want to overcomplicate something that's really not that complicated. And people don't understand. I mean, to Greg's point about people thinking it has to be this miserable experience, this battle, when it really doesn't. You know, are you going to be hungry? Well, yeah. I mean, and you know, we'll learn that that's not an emergency. You know, mm-hmm. you don't have to carry a protein bar in your purse just in case, like I used to do all the time, right? Like I would be running errands for 2 hours and I would make sure I'd have something. I'm like, just in case of what? Like, I'm not going to die. You know, it's those things that, you know, were ingrained for years and it just takes practice. But when I tell people, look, just start by writing everything down on it. And I tell them to write on a piece of paper what you put in your mouth every day. Have mm-hmm. that pad of paper sitting out and just go by and write down, oh, I took a handful of this, or I took a bite of that, or I had a salad with this in it, or whatever. Just write it down on that piece of paper. And I'm really old school about that because I think writing it down makes it like really real. Typing into your phone, we do that all the time, all day, every day, right? So when you have to take a pen and a piece of paper and write it, it like means something.
Yeah. How many calories did I burn writing?
Right. You know, I mean, it's such an old school thing, but I think it really, just for you to watch that piece of paper, that list grow, you know, throughout the course of a day, and you start thinking, oh, wow, okay, I'm going to go grab that handful. You know what? No, I'm not, because I don't want to write it down. You know, all of a sudden we start making different choices potentially.
Yep.
Yeah.
But that's how uncomplicated it can be to start, I think, right?
Yeah.
I think, sorry, Jillian. You just reminded me of something. Sometimes people who are, here's a really good analogy. When people are struggling with money, they never look at their bank account. And actually, MyFitnessPal, writing it down, food diary, is the bank account of this is the reality of the situation. So you have to do something different. So perhaps it's a massive part of fear of actually seeing the reality of it, because it's laid out in front of you. You can't escape it. And I think that's a real big one for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Or your work.
Yeah.
It's just making you more conscious, isn't it? It's just bringing, you know, because we do a lot of it kind of like that, you know, we just have little nibbles or something's just on the side, and there are so many sort of triggers in our environment that we just do automatically. It's just mm-hmm. about interrupting them a little bit. So
you know, I think fear is a great point, because geez, from my personal experience, that's why I didn't track for so long, because I didn't want to know. You know, ignorance is bliss, right? I mean, what we don't know, we don't know. and then we can easily blame something else for why, you know, and those excuses like, oh, it's got to be my metabolism, it's got to be my thyroid, blah, 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 all those excuses, it doesn't work for me. Those become our justifications, right, for not doing it. I mean, and we don't even think about it that way, but literally I see that happening all the time. We've gotten so used to saying it doesn't work for me. You know, I can't do that, you know, or I don't know how to do that. I don't know what to do. All of those things that we say become the reasons why we don't, you know, it becomes our justification, and they're not, they're just kind of a mask, you know, of facing what we don't want to face.
And then you're surrounded by all your girlfriends who are all saying the same thing, and you know, you're all like, yeah. So, all right, you think it too. All right, okay, it must be true then. You know, we've got more people to back up the story type of thing. So, yeah.
There's a meme which has got like a woman holding her head, and she's like, woman says they can't lose weight on the menopause, but also drinks a bottle of wine every night.
I've seen that. Yep.
I think I posted it today, actually.
Yeah. No, I'm like, yeah, that's so spot on, because that's what the woman I was talking to the other day said, well, you know, I like my wine. And I said, you know, great. I mean, I like wine too, but that doesn't mean I drink a bottle every night either. I mean, is it helping me towards my goal? You know, I have performance-based goals right now. So am I drinking wine every night? Is that helping me to what I want to do? Or can I maybe rethink how much wine I'm going to drink. Start with that. Does it have to be that much every night or whatever it is, you know? I mean, we all can learn to live with wine or chocolate or whatever it is that we love, right? I mean, we all encourage that because I don't think we can sustain anything if we are avoiding stuff completely.
Yep, totally agree.
And you're not a, you know, and we're not talking about top performing athletes that get paid however much money to do this. Yeah, okay, they're the guys that have to do it, you know, because they're at the top of their game, you know, on a day to day. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think people also think that they have to track every little macro that goes, like, I talk to people all the time that are just like their heads exploding because they have to have how many more, you know, a couple more grams of fats. I haven't hit my fats for today, or I haven't hit my carbs for today. I'm like, I haven't tracked a carb in my entire life, ever, ever, not one time. And I mean, if you'd love to do that thing, that sort of thing, I say do it, right? But if you're just trying to lose fat, maybe put on some muscle, that kind of thing, calories and protein, let's focus on those. And then whatever you got left, you eat what you want to eat. Yeah. You know, mine would include chocolate cake or something. You know, I would want to include whatever it is I like in there. And people are like, what? They're like, I don't have to do that.
Oh, it's but that's years, as I think Jillian said earlier, that they've been through so many diet strategies that they actually don't know what to eat. And when you say, well, no, we're going to do some what we call flexible dieting, you're going to be able to eat chocolate and lose weight, and their heads explode.
Yeah.
Because it's not all or nothing as well. So it's like people have to live an extreme to then come back to moderation, I think. So when we're talking some about, well, no, you can eat some crisps if you want to, or chips for anyone else in America listening to this. What? You mean I can eat those things? I'm like, yeah, you can. It's okay. And it's giving them the permission to actually make good choices for themselves. I think that's a big one about what we do.
Yeah.
Remove that judgment, isn't it? It's like, you know, you've got to eat good food to be a good person. You know,
yeah.
I've done wrong because I've eaten this food or whatever. Sorry, the cat is
stressing. I love it. I love it. I see the kitty.
This is my, I'm looking after it for my brother. So.
Aw.
Yeah, so. But now she's distracting me. I've lost my train of thought. But what I was going to say, Susan, one point to you there was about it's about the hunger, actually, and not knowing what hunger feels like anymore. I think is a big thing.
Right. Us, you know. Yeah. We're so afraid to be hungry.
Yeah. Because we're always like, well, we don't know what actual hunger probably feels like anymore. And then when you get there, it's like, oh my God, is my stomach, what's wrong? And, you know, it's, and that's the one key thing. It's kind of good to let people get used to what hunger actually feels like again and be okay with not having to eat just because your body is giving you the signals as well. Because, you know, it's something that is built into us routinely anyhow. So it's just about, you know, knowing when you can manage it and when you really need to actually have something to eat as well, I think is a good.
100%. I always thought the second my stomach growled, you know, that first little pang that, oh God, I have to go eat. Wait a minute. Let me go find something. Because if I don't, my metabolism would slow or something. I mean, you know, you have to stoke. What does that mean anyway? You have to stoke your, I mean, there's nothing that needs to be stoked.
Was it lemon water in the morning to improve your metabolism? What? No. Like humans have existed for so many years without drinking lemon water. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Or apple cider vinegar.
I call it lemonade. You know, so all this confusion, I mean, it's no wonder people are confused, right? I totally understand that too. I mean, God knows I was. People also lack the motivation to do stuff. And this is a huge issue too, I think, especially when people feel like they've tried everything or they've done everything and nothing is working. And then they're like, well, why kind of bother? You know, how do you handle the whole motivation issue with people?
Want me to shoot? Yeah.
I go through, that's kind of the first protocol. There's two things I really focus on with people. One, most of the time people feel that they don't have motivation is because they don't actually know why they want to do something. They don't really have dug down deep into the reasons why, apart from I want to lose a couple of pounds, and you're like, okay, that's cool, but why do you really want to do it? What is it? And really tapping into, like I always talk about, it's like an internal drivers, you know, that really deep desire to do that. But the other part of that as well, and that's another thing that I work on women with, is you know, what's the outcome? What's the actual outcome? Who is the person you're trying to become? And what is it that you can't do now that you want to be able to do, you know, that you're stopping yourself, you feel like you're holding yourself back in some way. So it's like, yeah, it's like change of identity. It's like, who is it that you're trying to be? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, are you wanting to be a person that gets up and does a workout at 6 a.m. in the morning? If you're not doing that, you know, is that really what you want to be doing and being that sort of person? So, and really, I think, again, it's like a written exercise. It's writing that down and letting the people, you know, really express that and get clear on that. Because I think they get a huge kind of boost. Confidence comes when you're clear on what it is that you're working towards. So so that's definitely one
totally great
that I look at. Yeah.
Totally agree. How about you, Greg?
I might be a bad person. So if ladies come and work with me, they often cry in their first kind of call with me. Because I just ask the question, do you love yourself? And that often brings up a whole load of emotions.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's the years of neglecting themselves, potentially trauma that's happened, what things have been told since they were, you know, 4 years old, whatever. And I had someone who, you know, she said, oh, I just need to, she did what Gillian said. I need to lose weight. I need to get into this dress. And we talked some more. And then I just said, when was the last time you put yourself first in anything? And she started to cry. And the thing is, I know she'd be an awesome client because she's willing to go into her emotions. Mm-hmm. I think what we need to understand is that all of this is emotional. Yes, calories matter. Of course, sets and reps matter. They all matter. But once you get the head and the emotions involved, all of that stuff is easy. But it's an emotional journey. And I think people need to really understand that. I think ladies especially need to dig into the emotions. You don't need to be, you know, this persona of being really super strong and shielding everything away from the world. Actually, this is a perfect opportunity to go, well, if I can get my mind in check and really start putting myself first, the rest of it's going to be a breeze. Tracking calories is not going to be a problem.
Yeah. I lost the last little bit of what you said.
I think I was just saying that if... ladies start to really understand that it's an emotional journey. And then the physical will come with it.
Yep.
Everything starts up here.
I totally agree. I just think there's our minds are set with what we, you know, we know what we grew up with, right? And we get to a place in middle age where we've believed things or we've, you know, it's kind of like when you're a parent, you don't know how to parent a kid when you have a baby, right? You know how to parent based on how you were parented. You know, that's where we all start as parents. Now we branch off as, you know, as our kids grow and everything, but I remember what my mom did in this situation or whatever. So that's what I started with. And of course we sift through good, bad, whatever stuff. But, and I think sometimes with these things that we believe, that this is not for me, or I can't do this or whatever, just comes from years and years and years and years of this. And I think that is key. I also would consider myself this tough love person. No fuss, no muss. I've been told that's me. So that's kind of what I do. I also tell people, you know, you don't feel like working out. I get it. There are days where all of us don't feel that way. But if you continue to not do that, if you continue to not work out, then you are going to be spinning your wheels. And the way that you're going to get motivation is by taking action, because most people sit back and wait for it to magically appear and, oh yes, I'll go do it now. And you know, y'all know it doesn't work that way. You don't sit back and wait for it. You have to create it, right? I mean, and so people sit back and they wait as if they're going to be sprinkled with magic dust and they'll be motivated. And sure, it's easy to go do something when you're motivated to do it, but it's not when you don't want to. And that's where you start doing the habit, you know, if you want to say habit creation or whatever, yeah. You push through the friction, whatever that wall is that's keeping you from doing it, push through that, knock that stuff down and go do whatever it is you're going to do. And you know, I like to say this too, if it's working out, okay, so don't go to the gym, go out and walk then, but do something, take action. It's just taking action.
Yeah.
That is the important part.
Absolutely. And I'd almost put confidence is that way as well. Sometimes people wait for confidence to appear before they'll jump into a program or, you know, so it's kind of similar in that vein as well, Susan.
Yeah, definitely. 100%.
Often I'll go to the gym and I'm not in the mood, but I'll go and sit in the gym and just watch, and then I'll do a couple of squats. And then before I know it, I'm in the game.
You're in the game.
Yeah.
And that happens all the time. And even with as simple as walking, okay, I'll go walking for 5 minutes. Great. Go walking for 5 minutes. Well, if it's a nice day, it's probably going to be a little more than 5 minutes. You know, I mean, you kind of get revved up. I'll go a little longer. I mean, it's the same thing. And I think that's something people underestimate too, is this whole motivation concept and what that means, and that you have to be motivated. You know, I get asked, how am I motivated all the time? I'm not. I mean, none of us are, right? At all. But I've learned to push through stuff when I don't want to do it, because if you keep thinking about how miserable you feel in the present, you probably won't do it. But if you start focusing on how good you're going to feel on the other side of that wall, that 5 minute walk that turned into 10, right? I mean, it's a lot better to think, not think of how miserable you are right then, but think about how good you're going to feel later.
Yeah.
And just being able to acknowledge that, you know, when you do those things as well, isn't it? It's getting the emotions going as well. So to say, you know what? I did that, right? Okay. I wasn't going to do this. Like even yesterday, I was doing a workout. It was just this kettlebell workout. Halfway through, I have to say, I was like starting going a bit bored of this actually. And you know, the mind monkey started kicking in. I was like, do I really want to do this? And here's me swinging a kettlebell. But you know, and I kept going. And then all of a sudden I was done. I finished the workout,
you're right.
You know,
it's, you're like,
so it does, there's no getting away from it. There's no, you know, it does hit everybody no matter how much. But like you said, Susan, you know, once you've been doing it for so long, you can call yourself out and that stuff. You know, you're like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
It's this excuse coming back again. I know this one. I know how this goes. So, and you just catch yourself, you know, out with those things. And that just comes, that comes with, again, it's habit, it's practice, it's, you know, it kept at it. And then you just be able to help others do that as well. So to realize those are the sorts of wins that we want to look for, you know, when you could have just stopped and but you didn't, and you kept yourself going. So I think, those are big things to realize.
Those are amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. You know, I want to talk about this word that I hear all the time. I'm curious on your take on it. And that is the word toned. What do you all think about the word toned, and how do you talk about that with your clients?
I run with it. I know it's not right. It's a common, like, whenever I've had lots of conversations and it always comes up, it's a word that is used and women do recognize it. To me, I never hear women saying, oh yeah, I want to be lean. I always hear, I want to be toned. I want to have more toned and you know.
No, great point. Like, yeah, you're absolutely right.
So I do, like I even call my program Tone Up and Transform. It's, you know, it's around about toning up. And yeah, and women just get it. But then, you know, once you have them in, then you can educate them on, right, okay, it doesn't really exist. Mm. It's not a thing, muscle tone as such, but you know, it's a combination of muscle definition and obviously looking leaner. So that's my take.
How about you, Greg?
So I I hate the word toned. I can't stand it. Maybe that's just a male thing. But I had a client ask me about this, you know, and I just asked the question and said, okay, great. So just show me the pictures that you've been taking. I said, how do you look? She's like, oh, I look more defined and toned. I went, so we just need to carry on, right? Yeah. Okay, cool. Got it. Let's go on with it.
Yeah.
So I think there's this thing that being toned, what's almost happened is, as well, because of the way people talk about the scales and the negativity, people will come to me and say, Greg, I don't want to lose weight. I want to tone up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it, like, toning up is going to feel better. And I just try to then explain the difference between just losing weight and fat loss.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll use the language to, because I have to.
Yeah, I understand.
I have to bring them over to.
I totally get it. And I used to be really like anti the word, I guess. But I have found, I think, kind of like you all have said, that is a common, almost a dialect with an age group, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that they don't know how to describe what it is that they necessarily want, which goes back to, I think most people want fat loss. I mean, if they had to choose between looking the way they want to look and feeling the way they want to feel without the scale doing much, that's what everyone's going to choose, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, people aren't going to choose, I want the scale number to go down, but I want to look like crap and feel like crap. You know, No one's going to choose that. So people really, in my mind, want to lose fat. That's what they want to lose. And so that conversation gets steered. But I also like to try to help them to understand what toned means. Mm-hmm. Toned means, you know, you want to see a little definition, right? I mean, you want to see fruits of your labor, as it were. You know, I have people say they want to look like they lift, or they want to look like they work out. And so we have to talk about that means you need to put on a little bit of muscle here. That's what this means. And then their head goes, like, because they think that means, you know, bulk and this. And then we have to go down maybe a different road. But it's kind of, I guess, defining it for them, what it actually means in reality, how you get what it is that you're describing to me. This is how you have to do it. And sometimes it throws them for a loop because they think, like Jillian, you were saying you used to do all the cardio, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's what a lot of them think they need to do, is do more cardio to get toned. No, that's not what you need to do. Actually, you need to start lifting some weights and let's start putting a little muscle on you. That's what you're going to see. Will you, you know, bulk up like the Hulk or something? No. And that part just drives me nuts too, because how many guys struggle with that? I mean, guys struggle with getting bulky all the time. How do women think we're going to do better at that than guys?
Yeah.
I think, it's that extreme thing though, isn't it? Because they see pictures of female physique athletes, bodybuilders, and they're like, oh, they lift weights.
Yes.
But then Gwyneth Paltrow is doing dancey stuff and she looks slim. So I must have to do that stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's probably been the narrative that's been pushed for a long time.
Yeah. Even though she's just naturally built that way anyhow, but yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's just an interesting phenomenon to educate. I mean, that's what we're doing, right? I mean, we're trying to educate and get people more defined with what they want, because I think sometimes they come to us and they're kind of all over the place, you know? And it's no wonder they spin their wheels. You know, I always use the expression, they're in a hamster wheel, you know, where the hamster just goes, yeah. And so many people are in that pattern, you know, and just trying to educate.
I think going back to Jillian's point, I think Jillian made a really good point earlier about what does that outcome really look like? Let's get granular. Like, mm-hmm. will you see, you know, striations in your shoulders, or will you fit into a dress? Will you be this? And really getting detailed on that. I think if a lot of the ladies did that exercise, I think they would have a better understanding of what they need to do to get that. Because mm-hmm. I think the other challenge that comes with that is, like you said, well, you're going to have to lift some weight. So if you want this, this is what you need. If you want mm-hmm. this is what you need.
Yeah.
If you want in between, then you're going to need a bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
Choose your poison.
Yeah,
is
yeah, yeah.
Really what you really want, or are you chasing someone else's dream? What do you want?
You know, how many people come to us and say they want to lose fat and build muscle at the same time? Like most people, you know, good luck. For most people trying to do that, I find that that's a huge issue for most people, not all. I mean, people newer to lifting and have a lot of weight to lose, they can probably do a little more of that. But for most people, I say, look, if lose, let's go into two dedicated periods here, because you can track your progress that way. Because if you're thinking you're building muscle, but wait, I can't eat that much, but wait, I have to eat because I'm, you know, you know, maybe 3 months of a fat loss phase, 3 months of a muscle building phase, then at 6 months, you've done both, yeah. You know, and then you can evaluate at the end of 6 months, where do I go? Do I want to lean back out a little bit? Do I want to hang out here? You know, what do I want to do? I think defining it is a little bit easier for most people.
And I think just people being realistic about what, so I think as for coaches, we need to be honest about, well, hey, Shelley, if this is what you want, this is what you're going to have to do. It's going to take this long. And this is the phases that we're going to have to go through. And I think, you know, people wanting that really quick result, you know, the 800 calorie diet. Oh, yeah. God. Oh, well, I saw that on Instagram. I'm like, look, that's, if you're going to work with me or Jillian or yourself, Susan, that's not going to happen. This is what you need. Yeah. You have to take the medicine or not. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Absolutely. And yeah, like that is just making it realistic about what they can. Yeah. Definitely what they can do. Like in that time, that 8 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever it is, like, you know, the clearer that you can be with that, that it is going to take time. You know, and you're going to want to have a break every so often as well. And you know, just give your, stop thinking about it for a little bit and then get back to it. And, yeah, you know, and to manage that as well, it's, which is okay. That's cool.
Absolutely. You know, but, you know, oh, absolutely.
Let yourself do it as well. So
I think the whole finish line mentality is a bit of an issue with people from the perspective of they think they crossed the line and it's over.
Yeah.
I don't have to do anything anymore. Well, I so many people get there and they don't look like they thought they would look like. Maybe they don't feel like they thought they would feel, and or their goals evolve. So yep. Now they've lost weight. So now maybe a goal is, I want to do a chin up, you know, or whatever, you know, maybe that's the new goal. So it's not really over. It just a different direction, right?
Definitely. It's been interesting because a lot of my clients, they came to me with the, I want to lose weight. And now, you know, we've got some who are starting to run. I've got some who are doing things like Animal Flow and stuff. And it's amazing to see the evolution. I think that's what it should be about. It's about evolution, not just the weight loss goal. And if you want to evolve, though, you're going to have to start doing some Bulgarian split squats.
I can't resist that one again.
I get so much hate for that. I put on there, someone asked me that for my favorite single leg exercise, and I said, bar none, Bulgarian split squats. And they're like, oh my God, they're the devil, and blah, blah, blah. They hate
them. Yeah, they're awesome. Jillian, you can get them.
Yeah, they hurt.
Get on board the split squat track.
Well, I wanted to touch on one more thing before I let you guys go. And that is clients that have substantial weight to lose. Like we can even use the number 100 pounds, 100 plus pounds, something like that. And how they just like, oh my God, like wrapping your head around that amount and maybe thinking way too far down the road and just keeping them going, feeling like they're moving forward in this journey that they feel like is going to take them forever, you know? How do you work with someone like that?
Yeah, that's a good one. Particularly, you know, if they're so focused, like it's almost like so fixated on their weight, it's like it becomes all consuming, doesn't it, of everything that they do. And that almost stops people then taking action because it's so overwhelming. You know, where they are and where they want to be just seems like a million miles away, doesn't it? So, and you know, the kind of key thing that you've got to do is just work with them backwards about where they want to be, and then start working and almost like sit down and do a plan with them or talk them through, right? Well, you know, break it down to what maybe that looks like over a month, or, you know, what's realistic over a month, and then break it down into a week, and then, okay, well, let's start here. Like you say, can you get yourself out, start walking every day, you know, and just start on that. So if they can see how you're breaking it down, I think it kind of just, again, it gives them, they can see a clear kind of step-by-step process. It makes it easier to kind of then move forward from that.
So, totally agree.
So definitely it's about bringing down that whole overwhelm of everything that I've got to do, because, and just really focus on the things that you can do right now. And then focus on those things, and then just let the outcome, it'll happen, it'll come, you know.
Totally agree.
I think for me, I would be asking the question is, well, is £100 the goal, or is it that you want to be confident or fit or look a certain way? Let's start there first. And then, right, what are we going to do today? And it's just understanding what every day looks like. Because as Julian said, you have to work backwards. And my thing would be, well, what have you done? What are we doing? And if these activities are going to be on the way of going to be the things that you're going to be doing when you lost £100, let's start doing them. Mm-hmm. So that's the daily walk. That's eating some more vegetables. Let's get the sleep on. And let's track the progress against those things. Because if you track the progress against the things you need to do, have you trained? Have you lifted twice a week? Have you done your walk? Oh, yeah, I've done that. Okay, cool. Everything else happens.
Yeah.
But I think we get caught up in tracking this outcome that actually isn't really the outcome, rather than tracking the actual process goals, which I think are bigger.
Yeah.
If we can start working on those, I think that's a massive way for people to move forward.
I love that term, process goals, because I totally think that as well. I think if there's a lift that they want to improve on, or if they want to build up or something, have a focus there, whether, you know, squat, deadlift, whatever it is, a focus on that. And also maybe even taking this, you know, what's that expression? I'm probably going to screw this up. Something like, how do you eat an elephant? It's one bite at a time, right? I mean, and that's of what you all are talking about is, you know, you can't swallow the whole elephant down. You know, I mean, you have to take these steps. And that could also mean making many, many goals along the way, even if it's about your weight. You know, okay, so you want to lose overall 100, but your first goal is 5, you know, or whatever. And then maybe the next goal could be another 5, 10, you know, whatever. Stacking goals, and those are your bites of that elephant. I think putting all of those things together and working backwards from the end and maybe plotting some places for them, something. I don't know. Everyone's different with that too, you know, and how they feel and how they look at it. Some people are gung ho and some people are really, you know, this is going to take forever, and, you know, setting them up with some wins out of the gate. Yeah. Super important.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Just get that momentum going and then build on that. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think you're right. It's what's the action.
Yeah.
What's the action that leads to the outcome? Are we doing the actions?
Yeah. It comes back to that with everything, doesn't it? Really? Yeah,
everything.
I mean, and this is actually the perfect place to put a bow on this, because that's kind of the message. It's like taking action. But yeah. You guys, this has been phenomenal. I could talk to you guys all day. We could chat like all day.
Brilliant.
So when all of this COVID stuff is over, I want to come over and hang out.
Definitely.
That would be amazing.
That would be good.
Yeah. Just don't show me up in the gym, please.
Oh, stop with that. Stop with that. Why don't we talk about where people can find you out in the internet land?
Yeah. So my main places are Facebook and LinkedIn, actually, is the other place as well I use. So Gillian Davis, Women's Transformation Specialist, is my Facebook page. So, or just look me up as Gillian Davis and on LinkedIn or Facebook.
That's, I love it.
Me.
I'm a bit more spread out. So on Instagram, you'll find me as Greg Project Fit UK. On Facebook, you find me as Greg Fearon. I'm the same on LinkedIn. And obviously we host a Fit and Fabulous podcast, which is on Apple and all those other good things. as well. So yeah, come say hello.
Yeah, check them
absolutely
out.
Absolutely, you guys, everyone out there, please go follow both of them. They are perfect people. I just love talking to you guys, man. We need to go. I want to come over and we need to go out and just have a meal and just chat, you know.
Greg's gonna take us to the climbing wall. That's what he'll do.
We can go climb and eat. Hey,
I would love to climb. I've climbed once in my life.
Oh wow.
That's and it.
Jillian hasn't done it before, I don't think.
I've never done. So, no.
Okay, so that's what we're gonna do. Yeah. All right.
It's a date. Let's do it.
And then
let's
do it. Donuts afterwards, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
100%. Amazing. Thanks, awesome. Guys. Thanks so much. And we will talk soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.